bikes eat plastic?
Have we perfected the square-wheeled bicycle?
Is this eagle the most wholesome eagle ever?
And how much soda can one bear drink? Get the answers to these questions and more on this week's episode of Knick Knack News. I'm Anthony.
And I'm Alex. And my first story today is fungus news. This is from ABC News, Australia. The headline is, Plastic Eating Backyard Fungi Discovery Boosts Hopes for a Solution to the Recycling Crisis.
Send them to the Pacific Garbage Patch or whatever.
I know. Every time we find one of these things, I'm like, just ship it to the garbage patch. Just ship it and drop it off on the garbage patch.
Send it there.
So Australian scientists have successfully used what they're calling backyard mold to break down one of the world's most stubborn plastics, a discovery that they hope could ease the burden of the global recycling crisis within a few years. Experiments conducted by researchers at the University of Sydney and published in science journal Materials Degradation found that two types of fungi could be harnessed to attack small samples of polypropylene, which is used to make items like takeout containers, ice cream tubs, and cling film.
Oh.
Or plastic wrap. The two fungi, which I'm going to attempt to pronounce the names now, are called Aspergillus terreus and Angiodontium album. And they are usually found in plants and soil, so like pretty common fungi.
Okay.
In the test that they did, it took 90 days for the fungi to degrade 27% of the plastic they were testing. And it was completely broken down after only 140 days.
Okay, so it takes a little while to get started, but once they've started, they...
Once it's going, it's like, yeah, we're on a roll here.
Keep going, yeah.
That's what the fungus is thinking in its mind. That it has.
In its brain. In its famously, they have brains and thoughts and ideas.
So they mentioned that part of the of what makes it work is that the samples have to be exposed to UV light or UV rays, I guess. I'm not exactly sure why, but that's like part of the equation.
Okay.
And chemical engineering professor Ali Abbas, who supervises the research team, said the findings were significant and that it's the highest degradation rate basically ever reported in literature. Like the rate of degradation was so fat, like they broke whatever. It's the highest known, the fastest known rate of degradation of plastic using an organism like this. So yeah. And then just some background that despite technically being recyclable, an estimated like over 13,000 tons of this type of plastic polypropylene ends up in Australian landfills every year because it's either contaminated or it's mixed with other materials. And so it can't be recycled, which I'm sure we've talked about that before where like certain things, like it ends up in a landfill anyway, because it's like dirty or it's mixed. It's not like sorted or cleaned properly. So
yeah.
So it's still, so recyclable plastics are still like part of the issue basically is what they're saying. So,
right.
Yeah, so the researchers were pretty confident that this could actually like be used as a process and like scaled up like pretty quickly. Apparently the like fungus degradation techniques like this are already used in like other industries. The article didn't really go into any details about what that meant, but apparently it's not like it's not a novel idea to like use fungus. It's just that this particular experiment, they found a combination of situation where the rate was really fast. So that's just really promising. So
does it produce like any byproducts or?
It didn't say. I didn't say here, and I didn't go read the actual article, but that's a really good question.
I assume if it turns into something, it's less problematic than what goes in.
I can't imagine like a fungus creating a byproduct. I don't know.
Breaking it down into something. I just wonder, could I get like a pet one of these and just like have like a container
that has, just feed it plastic?
Just put all my plastics in there, and like the container has like UV lights in the top, and I just like, it's kind of like a compost bin, but for your plastic.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
I love that idea. It's a compost bin of the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's your plastic degradation fungus bin.
Yeah. It would just have to be, I mean, depending on how much of this stuff I use, it would have to be, might have to be a pretty big bin.
What if that was the name of a band? Plastic Degradation Fungus Bin.
That's a great band name.
Right? It's like, it's got that level of like weird randomness. It's just like perfect. Anyway.
Yes.
That was a tangent. Anyway, yeah, thanks for listening to my science story on fungus today.
All right, my first story this week is bicycle news. And this is from Gizmodo, and the headline is, "This square-wheeled bicycle works like a pedal-powered tank."
I don't even know how to respond to this headline.
That's fair.
I don't even know what to say.
I'm gonna send you the link after I've talked about this a little bit, because I want you to see this thing.
Okay.
So, yeah, they said the determined engineers behind the YouTube channel The Q, which I've never heard of, managed to build a bicycle with square wheels that rolls as comfortably as a bike with round ones. And, yeah, honestly, the article itself isn't that long, but part of how they filled it was they listed some other examples of non-circular wheeled bicycles. Not even bicycles, just vehicles. Years ago, the Mythbusters, they said upgraded, but I don't know about this, upgraded a pickup truck with square wheels, resulting in an incredibly uncomfortable ride on most smooth surfaces. just like, what myth were they trying to bust with that? Wheels,
yeah,
have
were
to
they
be
trying
round.
To just like,
oh no, it's still true.
Like, they were just trying to prove that a square wheel doesn't make sense. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure what their goal was there. I guess I'd have to watch the episode.
Yeah.
They also mentioned a bicycle with triangular wheels that was spotted at Burning Man. And they apparently had like a custom designed bike frame to cancel out like the like jarring motions from that, like, so it's somehow designed such that the triangle wheels don't make for an uncomfortable ride. I don't know. They didn't have a picture or anything of this, so I don't have any idea. And I would have had to do my own research, but I didn't do. and then the last example they gave is that like the National Museum of Mathematics in New York has on display a square wheeled tricycle, that like works fine because they have a surface for it where it's like a series of convex bumps that are like perfectly spaced such that like the square wheels like perfectly fit into the groove between each bump, and you can kind of go in a circle on this tricycle and it's a comfortable ride, but also completely useless outside of that context. Yeah, that was the other example they gave. There is a video of that in the article, which will be in the show notes, and I highly recommend looking at it because it's pretty stupid. And then, so finally, getting back to the point of this story, they talk about this square-wheeled bicycle, which takes an entirely different and clever approach to the problem, and can be comfortably ridden on pretty much any flat surface. So in this case, the square wheels don't actually roll, but the rubber tires have been sliced up and paired with four sets of bike chains that create a continuous tread that rolls around the outside of each wheel. So it's kind of like a tank tread. And I'll send you, now's when I'll send you the link so you can see. They have, I think, like a GIF of what it looks like at the top of the story.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like basically a pedal-powered tank, and the bottom of each wheel just glides along the pavement as it goes. And it's like such a clever way to get around. Like, technically, we made a square-wheeled bicycle.
Okay, now that I'm looking at the GIF, like, I get it, and like, I'm like, okay. I don't know. I understand. Like, as soon as you described it as a tank, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
And now that I'm seeing it, like, okay.
Because that's exactly what, it's the same concept. It's like a, basically just a tread situation, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Treads on like a belt, conveyor, it's not a conveyor, but you know what I mean. Yeah, on a belt.
Yeah. I kind of want to try
using that to get traction instead of like the wheels turning. It's using that belt to get traction. It probably feels really good, like stable because of the squareness.
Yeah. Right? That's actually that's a really good point. You probably could just like stand this bike up even and on its own.
Okay. I'm a fan. Now that I've seen the picture of it, like, okay. Yeah. I would try it. Yeah.
I want to try it. The article also pointed out that like because it has like a right angle at the front, like anything but a flat surface is probably going to give it some trouble.
Which
is also fair, but that's fine. I don't need to go off-roading.
Yeah, like it's only for very limited terrain.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not an all-terrain bicycle.
No. like it probably, I think on grass even it would probably like have trouble.
I think it would struggle quite a bit.
But hey, this is such a creative idea.
It's a creative way to, I guess, solve the square wheeled bicycle problem, if you could call it a problem or something to solve.
Yeah. Was that a problem or? Yeah.
Not anymore.
Okay. My next story is bird news. This is from CBSnews.com. And the headline is, bald eagle who cared for, quote, rock baby, takes over care of orphaned eaglet.
Aw.
Did you see this at all?
No.
Viral eagle? Okay, all right, I'm going to tell you all about it then. So, a bald eagle basically went viral lately because it was, like, sitting on a rock, like it thought a rock was an egg and was like incubating it. And apparently that's not that uncommon because it's like a hormonal thing that can happen. So according to this article, the bird's name is Murphy. He's 31 years old and he started caring for a rock at World Bird Sanctuary in early March. And in a Facebook post, the sanctuary explained that building a nest and nurturing a rock as if it's an egg is actually a hormonal response to spring. So they weren't that, like, taken aback by it, I guess.
Sometimes I do the same thing in April, too. So.
So basically, like, this bird went viral because people thought that it was funny and there was signs in front of it and all this stuff. But so what happened is recently the sanctuary received an injured and orphaned eaglet in early April, whose, I guess, the nest had been blown down in a storm. And so this eaglet was just like in need of fostering or needed care. And so they decided to like try to introduce the eaglet to Murphy. So they like took the rock away and then put this like eaglet there. And apparently they've been like bonding. And now Murphy is just like, I don't know, like taking care of it and all this stuff. And it's just this like super wholesome, cute thing. And this sanctuary just keeps posting like pictures of them on Facebook and all sorts of information about it and stuff. And it's just like everyone just watching because it's just this heartwarming story about two eagles. And that's the whole news. It's just like the news is like they're doing well.
Do you think that Murphy thinks that his rock hatched?
He might think his rock hatched. I don't know.
And now he has,
I mean, he knows that he was incubating a rock, and then now there's an eaglet there. That did happen. That is fact. So,
cause and effect.
Yeah.
Maybe his rock did hatch. This is all an elaborate ruse.
Yeah, maybe the wildlife conservation people know stuff that we don't, but like they're trying to keep
it. Cover-up.
It's a cover-up. Some of the rocks out there are eagles' eggs.
You never know when you're near a rock that's going to hatch into an eagle.
You never know.
My next story is bear news. This is from Cleveland19.com. And I think that they took the story from another source. But that's the website I got it off of. So that's the one I'm citing.
All right.
But the headline is, bear downs 69 cans of soda after breaking into woman's car.
I have so many questions.
I have so many answers.
Okay.
Okay. So a Canadian woman says she caught a bear breaking into her car to guzzle dozens of cans of soda in the middle of the night. Her name is Sharon Rosal, and she says her dog alerted her about 3 a.m. Thursday that something was outside of her house. When she took a look, she saw a black bear surrounded by the shattered glass from her car window. So Rosal owns a food truck and had 72 cans of soda of different varieties in her car. She says the bear was just going to town on the soda, using its teeth to break open the cans and slurp out the liquid. So just like biting into these soda cans and drinking them. And she said she watched from her balcony for an hour and a half as the bear drank the soda. She said it started with the orange soda, then moved to cola, and then root beer, and it only stopped when it got to the diet soda.
What? What's wrong with diet soda?
I mean, bears can tell the difference.
Come on.
That bear was just wanted diet sugar. Coke? I mean, it didn't say. If it was, then that's really disappointing.
I know.
It probably was like, this isn't sugar. I don't want this. Yeah. But in total, the bear drank 69 of the 72 cans of soda, which is most of it. She told CBC News, which I think is who originally reported on this, that she tried throwing cold water on the bear, but it didn't stop. and this is probably my favorite part of this story. It said also ineffective was what she called an attempt to reason with the animal.
What?
She said, I tried reasoning with him. I explained to him how important the car was and that I had to go to work the next morning. That didn't seem to affect him whatsoever. So she tried just talking to the bear from her balcony, I guess. I don't know why she expected that to work.
I don't know. And also, I wish I could have witnessed that.
I wish I could have witnessed this whole thing.
Actually, yeah.
So in addition to breaking the car window, apparently the bear ripped up the leather interior, broke the window crank by standing on it, and spilled soda everywhere. The last one was probably unnecessary.
Expected.
Yeah, kind of makes sense.
if they had been like, the bear didn't even like spill barely any of the soda. It drank out of the tank. It's like, what?
Yeah, no, it was biting into the cans. I don't think it was doing such a good job. So she lives in a remote area and reportedly deals with bears every day, which seems wrong. But that's just what they said. And she says she's normally careful not to leave food in her car, but never thought a bear would be attracted to soda, which, like, of course it would. It's sugar water. Why wouldn't any humans are attracted to it? Why wouldn't a bear? But yeah, that's the story of the soda guzzling bear.
Sorry if I missed this, but why did she have so much soda in her car?
Because she owns a food truck, and I guess that was her to transport it. Yeah.
I see.
But yeah.
Okay. Okay. Fine.
So yeah, she had a good reason to have that much.
I'm just imagining this is just her like casual, like, yeah, I keep like
every Monday I stock up on soda, you know, for the week.
Yeah, I have like 20 fridge packs of soda just like in my trunk. Just like I just need it with
it's
me all
I
times.
Eat. All soda diet.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense that a bear would be attracted to soda, but yet like I don't remember hearing about a story like this before. So,
yeah, not for this, not like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't give any other bears ideas.
All right, that's our show. Thanks for listening, everybody. We post episodes every Friday, and as always, the links to this week's stories will be in the episode description.
If you want to share a story with us about sugar bears or anything else, you can send us an email at knickknacknews@gmail.com.
All right, we'll see you next week.
Bye.